Japan's prime minister says he wants to hold a summit with Chinese leaders during the meeting of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Forum in Beijing in November.
11月の北京 APEC の際に首脳会談を行いたいと。
Speaking to a parliamentary budget committee Monday, Shinzo Abe, who has not yet met with Chinese officials since taking office in late 2012, says the door of dialogue is always open on his side, and he hopes that China will have the same attitude. The Chinese foreign ministry responded by saying the Japanese side needs to take real steps and work hard to banish the political obstacles to improved relations. Recent tensions center around a territorial dispute and China's creation of an air defense identification zone. Michael Kuchek, research associate for the MIT Center for International Studies in Tokyo, told Daybreak Asia's Victor Beatty it's unlikely such a meeting would take place on the sidelines of APEC.
They're maybe better than they were last year because the Chinese leaders understand that Mr. Abe is here for the long haul, and he's already made it 1 year in office. There's no reason he won't be here two or three. They may decide to cut their losses. However, the basic demands that they have been making as the minimum requirements for a summit have not changed. And Mr. Abe has not made any promises either himself or indirectly through his aides to meet Chinese demands.
Mr. Abe said it's inevitable to have some sort of trouble between neighboring countries, but we should look at the entire relationship when dealing with small troubles. That's what formed the basis of having a strategic relationship. Of course, Japan and China are still big trading partners.
When Abe talks about small troubles, he's talking basically about the islands issue involving the Senkakus, or what the Chinese call the Diaoyu Islands, where currently it's at a fixed level of aggression involving only Coast Guard ships, where Chinese Coast Guard ships enter into territorial waters that Japan claims are its. They putter around for a few hours being followed or running alongside Japanese Coast Guard vessels, and then they go away. That's very, very provocative. You're going into someone else's territory, but it's still at a low level. And that's something we can handle, is what Abe is telling the Chinese.
Mr. Abe, of course, will plan to be in Beijing for this APEC summit. How do you think he's going to be received?
It will be very tight. There will be a lot of security around him. There will be a very great difficulty involved in terms of independent popular protests, but the Chinese government is a specialist at locking down the capital. Nevertheless, it's going to be very hard for the Chinese government to pretend, as it has been doing, that Abe is just not there.
The Japanese leader's comments came 4 days after the sixth high-level U.S.-China strategic and economic dialogue in Beijing. The 2 days of talks resulted in new efforts to combat climate change and improve economic and military relations. But there was no breakthrough in disputes over cybersecurity and territorial disagreements with China's neighbors. Stephen Lewis, a China fellow at Rice University, says it's important such a dialogue take place on a regular basis.
Relations have not been very good between China and the United States on economic policy, security policy, any of those things. And I'm sure many of the people who are going to the meetings from China's government and American government would have been happy to just stay home. Nobody wants to go to a meeting where it's clear there's going to be a lot of contentiousness. And yet, what the real achievement is that by bringing very senior officials on both sides together actually allows the lower-level technical, kind of the bureaucrats on both sides, to get together to discuss very much needed issues about cooperation and coordination on both sides on critical issues. And so to me, the most encouraging thing was on things related to climate change and technical and economic. The United States and China are both the largest consumers of energy, one of the largest creators of greenhouse gas. China, of course, is larger than the United States now. Both of our governments are fairly decentralized when it comes to a comprehensive energy policy. And so in that type of situation, if our two governments don't get together, that's bad for the entire world. I mean, carbon capture is one of the main ones. Both of our governments and countries are the leaders in it, but actually getting projects on the ground and pushing those forward is one of the things that hopefully will come out of this most recent meeting.
There was a related opinion piece in the People's Daily that warned of a new Cold War between the two countries. Do you see such tensions like there were between the Soviet Union and the United States?
There's more and more of an acknowledgement on the Chinese side that it is turning out to be more like a Cold War relationship. And I think that might not be a bad thing, as long as there goes along with it the idea that the United States and the Soviet Union managed to avoid direct military conflict through a whole series of measures, including a lot of cooperation in terms of exchanges and visits, mutual visits. So, you know, happening around the same time, we had the RIMPAC exercises in Hawaii, and Chinese vessels were participating in that with nations, you know, all around the Pacific Rim, you know, hosted by the United States. And that's a very good sign, because unlike the Soviet Union, the Chinese military is much more isolated. They have not had as much direct contact, you know, even with supposedly their new allies, including Russia and everything. The Chinese military is very isolated, and that's actually a big warning sign. So it sounds like they're being more realistic when it comes to going forward into that type of situation, that we need to have a lot more discussions about how to avoid small military conflicts turning into very big military conflicts.